Get up with
Desire and Ellie on Goulburn Valley's Hit 96.9.
Tell us about your story and how you end up at Beyond Housing.
Okay, so it's a bit of an elongated story. I'll try and make it as concise as possible. In 2015, I quit my corporate career, set up a business, and the business failed, and I had no money. I had no nowhere to go. I got eviction notice on the 24th of December, which I was supposed to leave on 2015, but I managed to get an extension until January. I didn't find any other work. I was pretty depressed at the time because my business had failed and because I didn't want to go back into the corporate career I'd been doing for 16 years. So I couch surfed for a bit, and in April 2016 I decided to go to Perth, couch surf with a couple of my cousins there. And the idea was, I was on Centrelink at that time, so the idea was to hitch up to Broome and go see Broome. But I met a girl and instead decided to get a job and move in with her. Now, that didn't last very long. So on the back of that, I then had a rent to pay on my own. The job wasn't going very well. I was suffering from depression. And I tried to make something change in my life, and I got a job for an extra $40,000 a year for an international insurance broker, or an international company. And I did one day in that job before I decided to go be a barman in the Wheat Belt in WA. Now, I was there for 3 months. The work dried up. The club was in financial difficulties. So I was out on my end again, and I really didn't know what to do with myself. So what I did was flew to Melbourne, back to Perth, flew to Melbourne, back to Perth, tried to get some sort of stability. And I worked, you know, as an entertainer. I did some DJing, I did some radio production and things like that, but it was all small, very low pay sort of work. So the story I really want to tell you is the one night that I decided to leave a house where I was living because I wasn't getting on with the landlord.
Was this in Melbourne? Or?
This is in Perth, in Beaconsfield, Perth. Yeah. And he had 2 weeks bond and 2 weeks notice, and I couldn't afford to pay the rent on the without the bond. So I said, please take the rent out of my bond. He complained about that. I wanted some sort of security. I said, look, I'm leaving out in 2 weeks, then I've got enough money to get another place. And I went out to cover Hidden Treasures, which is a Fremantle music event for the radio station I was working for. I got back at 2 or 3 in the morning to find the doors, locks changed. All my stuff was out in the rain, apart from all the $5,000 worth of electronics I had, which was all locked in the house with new locks. This is a kind of typical way I've been treated over the course of my experience, was people really don't care about helping you, and they often don't understand. That's the problem, is they don't understand and they don't want to understand.
They just want the money, don't they?
Well, you know, I'm not just talking about commercial things like that landlord, but it's also family and friends. You know, when you're really in need, it's often the case that people desert you when you truly most need them. And that was the most heartbreaking point of my experience, is being alone without enough money to make ends meet, with no home. There was a time, I wouldn't wish this on anyone, there was a time when I didn't know where my next meal was coming from, and I hadn't eaten for a day and a half.
So where do you turn to when that happens? Do you go looking for money, or do you go looking to rob people?
Like, well, that's a good point, is that I refuse to go begging. Okay, I mean, Centrelink, I'll class that as begging, right? But I've paid lots of taxes for many years in this country.
Yeah, of course.
So I needed it back in the end. But I wouldn't go begging. I wouldn't sit on the streets and do that. So what I did was, the time when I'd had no food, I actually went to a soup kitchen. And it was the most heartbreaking experience of my life, because I saw how in need these people were, and I felt like I was stealing their food. Even though I hadn't eaten for a day and a half, I felt like I didn't need to be there, and they did. And I was stealing their food. And because everyone knows everyone in Fremantle in the homeless circuit, and everyone knows anyone in Fremantle, but everyone knew everyone. And I was this new guy who sat there trying to just get some beans on toast down me at 8 o'clock in the morning. And they're all looking at me, and, you know, I felt shame was the thing. I felt shame. And this is the key point about homelessness. I was thinking a lot about this last night, and I've had to go over 3 or 4 years that were quite painful last night, so forgive me if I'm quite emotional.
No, of course.
This is the key to homelessness and what the problem is in society. The problem is, everyone in society thinks homelessness is a dirty, or an embarrassing thing or a word. And we're taught from day one that this success in life is having the 2.4 kids and the house and the white picket fence and the car and keeping up with the Joneses. That's what we're taught. So when we see people who are homeless, like, for example, the people in Elizabeth Street in Melbourne, which was quite often when I used to live in Melbourne, the people that you see around Coles in Shepparton by Kmart, you see homeless people, they are everywhere, but people just want to ignore them. Society wants to ignore them. And this is where the problem is, because the five stages of acceptance start with denial, and that's where we're still at. And this problem is not getting better. On the news today, on the radio, an advert today saying 1 million children in this country go hungry. You know, they might not be homeless, but there's a poverty issue in this country, and it's very serious, and people are ignoring it. Now, it's all well and good to put it in the hands of the police, the government, the local council, the people. Oh, they'll deal with it. I pay my rates. They'll deal with it. I don't need to deal with it. But the actual thing that needs to happen in society is there needs to be a paradigm shift and a change in society. And that change doesn't have to come from giving up anything you already have. You don't have to give up your technology, give any money to any charities. What that change has to do with is a mental and spiritual change, where people start to say there is a reason why homelessness exists. Either individually, everyone has a reason, whether it be drugs and alcohol and their own fault, or whether it be psychological depression, or whether it be they've been abused by people, there is a reason for homelessness. And instead of looking at what when it comes to homeless people, we should look at the why. And we should look at homeless people and say, instead of they are homeless, I don't like that, I don't want to think about it, we should look at them and say to ourselves, why has that person become so needy and in need? And what can I do to help them? Yeah. That's what I think is the problem with society, is that we all need to change it at an individual level in our hearts, in our minds, in our homes. And we need to be aware that this isn't going to change. It's getting worse while we leave it in other people's hands.
Can I ask, Richie, as someone who's experienced homelessness yourself, if I walk past someone out the front of Kmart and Coles, if I walk in Melbourne or Geelong or wherever I see somebody, what can I do that helps, besides obviously changing that mindset, because mindset's the number one? Is there anything else we can do when we see those people to help? Is it a conversation? Like, what if, when you were back in that situation, what would you have loved someone to come and say to you?
Well, I'm a little bit different, because I went to camp in the bush, right? I got a tent and went and camped in the bush. That's how I dealt with my homelessness. I even worked when I was living in the bush, right? A lot of people feel like they don't have the means to do that, or they don't have cars, or they can't get around. What would help, I think, and this is my own personal opinion, I can't tell you what those people think of homelessness, what you guys think of homelessness. My opinion is acknowledgement. Hello, you are part of our community, you are part of our society. You, is there anything I can do for you today? You know, I'm going to Coles to spend $120 to overfeed my family. You know, there's an obesity problem in Australia, there's an obesity problem in Shepparton, right? I'm going to Coles to spend all this money. How about, would you like $5 if you promise me not to spend it on drugs? You know, just conversation, engaging, acknowledging. You know, if more people, I think a lot of the homeless issue comes from the fact they have no one to care for them. You know, whether it be a psychological problem, and then they you know, let's say it might be an abusive relationship, or God forbid, sexual abuse, and they've gone onto the streets and they're managing their depression with alcohol and drugs. You know, that's a vicious spiral downward for that person. But if people were to sit down and say, what's your story? Why are you in need? You know, is there anything that you can do to help yourself? Is there anything I can do to help you?
So a simple conversation can change someone's life.
I think we all just need to say hello to them.
Mm.
You're walking into Coles, there's hundreds and hundreds, thousands of people walking to Coles every day. And they could just go past and say, good day.
It's not hard,
how are you doing? You all right? You cold? You know, do you want to get your chocolate bar? It's a dollar for a Mars bar. You know, it's just a case of, we're not changing it by letting the authorities deal with it. We need to start doing it ourselves.
How did you end up getting from Melbourne to Shepparton, where you came into Beyond Housing and changed your whole life?
That's
it?
A story. So it's a good story. So in October 2018, I got kicked out of the fifth house in 3 years, and this time it wasn't my fault.
So we're only talking 9 months ago.
Yes,
roughly.
And I made a decision. I had some money saved from the radio work I was doing. I was actually working four jobs at the time to try and get myself out of the hole. and this was a spanner in the works, and I just thought, you know what, I've got three options. I either get another place in Perth, or I fly back to England, because I haven't been there for 8-9 years, or I'm going to drive this 19-year-old leaky Honda CR-V across Australia as one of my bucket list items. And I was actually in a tent from the 16th of October until the 1st of December. And 17 days of that was travelling across Australia, about 150, 200 Ks a day. Because I thought, well, again, I'm not going to go begging. I'm not going to go bemoaning my situation. I'm going to do something with it. And I'm going to achieve something very amazing and spiritual, and something that very few people have done. In a car at great risk to myself, but who cares? I've got a tent. I can sleep in that, you know. So I did that, and I met some people in Adelaide who are from Shep. They're aforementioned people. And they said, come spend Christmas with us. So I did that. Things went sour with them, and this other girl they'd introduced me to, she got quite nasty because she had a methamphetamine addiction. And the day I came to see Paul was probably the day that changed my life.
And that's here at Beyond Housing.
Here at Beyond Housing was the day that changed my life, because I've never, in all those 3 years, five instances of homelessness, I've never used a charity.
How did you find out about Beyond Housing, and what made you walk through the doors?
People talk about it in Shepparton. People know Beyond Housing. I was told that it exists by the people I knew, and I looked it up on the website and saw what it was. It's well known, I believe, from my experience. The people at work know it. You know, it's a brand, which brand, if you like, or it's a service, and you're a not for profit, aren't you?
Yeah.
So you came to Beyond Housing. So just at December just gone, you were homeless, literally living in a tent, and now we're in June. And you've got a job. You look amazing. If I do say so myself.
I am single, you know.
There you go, ladies, if you're listening. He is single as well. Really changed his whole life. He may be married by the end of the year. Far out. Wouldn't that be a turnaround, December to December? So the minute you walked in here, they helped you find work.
I had the job already.
Yeah.
I needed a place. Now, actually, the night that I fell out with this lady, was the hottest night temperature on record that you had this summer.
I remember it very well.
32 degrees. It was the coolest temperature at night, and I tried to sleep in the car that night, and I couldn't because the car was so stuffy, and with the windows open, the mozzies were coming in and biting me and stuff.
So how do you, when you say you, like, because a big part of homelessness, which I spoke to the CEO of Beyond Housing yesterday, Celia, is couch surfing. It is sleeping in your car, or it is intense. Many people just picture the person on the side of the road begging. It's not always that. How hard is that, especially at this time of year where it's -2 at night, and then, like you just said, when it doesn't go below 32, we live in a place full of extremes. There's a lot of people in Shepparton suffering right now.
It's not ideal. It's a temporary fix. You know, it keeps the rain off your head, but tents, you know, where do you put them? You know, you look at LA and Seattle. There's a YouTube video, Seattle is Dying, and it talks about the tent cities that are spreading out in America. I mean, that's connected to the same reason why we've got homelessness around the rise in Australia. It's the same reason that it's happening in the UK. It's because the Western economic model creates homelessness, right? And until we start to understand this, it's not going to change. And sorry, I'm off the question. You asked, how is it? Well, that 32 degrees was the night I said, I need to go to Beyond Housing. Alright, I got hardly any sleep. I came in. I expect to get turned away, actually. And Paul sat me down. You know, I probably don't look like the normal sort of character that comes in here. But Paul sat me down. I said, look, this is the situation, mate. I'm desperate. I've got a job starting in 2 weeks. I'm desperate. And he said, you asked me some very, very difficult questions at the start, Paul. You asked me some very difficult questions. Which I made me feel like you weren't going to help me, actually, at the start. And then you considered what I told you, and you made the decision to help me, which I tell you what, if you hadn't made that decision, I would not be in Shepparton today. I would be off down back to Melbourne, or back to Perth, God forbid, you know. As it is, I really enjoy getting to know Shepparton, and it's a place where I want to put down some roots. And that's because, in no small part, because of you and Beyond Housing. But the second thing that Paul did for me was, after that week ran out, got it, put in a donor hut in the caravan park in Maroochydore. And the psychology of that, the fact that it was my first ever place to myself since October the 16th, and this was January. The
roof over your head, yeah. Your own bathroom, just
well,
to have some kind of...
With yeah. Have to share it with the backpackers.
That'll do.
But yeah, my own space. And even though it's a donga hut, you know, it's my own space. I could lock the door and put my things in it, have a computer that works. And the psychology, it was amazing. But that week ran out, and I still had another week till I had my first wages and my first week at job. So I said to Paul, can you help me again? And he said, we can't help you a second time, but go to Vinnie's. Now, I've been to op shops all the time. I love op shopping. I'm from Yorkshire. People call us tight. I say economical, right? Okay, but I love op shopping, and I go to Vinnie's all the time. I never knew what the services they did. You know, I know I'm aware of what Salvo's do, but I wasn't aware of St. Vincent de Paul, what they do. And again, I'm going into unknown waters. Thank Paul for his support here, because I went down to Vinnie's in Maroochydore. And I tell you what, it's touching, not only Beyond Housing and Paul, but Vinnie's and the two ladies there, I didn't take their names, sat me down. They literally heard me for about a minute, and they looked at each other and went, let's give them a hand up. And I was like, that's all I needed, because now, as you see, I've got a job, I've, you know, a new wardrobe, I've got a house, a rented house, and veg patch. You've had one of my zucchinis, haven't you? Right? In fact, actually...
You said they're doing gardening.
You didn't bring any in for me to have either.
It's a bit late season now for zucchinis. And funny enough, actually, I did pick some salad this morning, because it's for a friend in Melbourne. But all of that became possible. It wasn't just Beyond Housing and Paul and Vinnie's, okay? They were the ones that made it happen, but it had to be myself that made decisions in order to change myself and my life, the way I saw things, the way I was feeling. And that's something I've tried to do over a number of years.
You'd have to dig pretty deep to find that, to be able to pull that together. Like, it takes a lot of strength to do that, doesn't it?
It takes an immense amount of strength, and that's why one of the problems with homeless people who don't want to help themselves is they struggle to get that strength. I'm lucky because I'm a naturally strong person. I'm an Aries, so there you go, girls. I'm an Aries as well. So,
but right, they're already taking notes.
Yeah, right. I think it depends. There's a three elements to this. There's assistance, which is the Beyond Housing and Vinnie's. There's the society, which is the changing of the way we think about this issue. And there's the individuals. I think the three come together and we can make a difference. And if there's individuals who don't want to change, don't like doing that, whatever, that's okay too. It's our human right to decide to choose to do whatever we decide to do, as long as it doesn't harm another. And if they don't want to help themselves and they want to be drunk every day or on drugs and do this thing, as long as they don't harm anyone else, fine. But those people who complain about homelessness and want to do something about it, they need to understand that there's an element to their own assisting themselves. And it's not easy, but there is support networks out there, you know. I suppose that's all I've really got to say on the subject. Richie, it was so long.
No, Richie, really appreciate your time. It means a lot that you shared your story with us, and we wish you all the best in the future.
Thank you, Josiah.
And thank you to Beyond Housing as well for giving us the time. And we look forward to following your journey some more. And
cheers.
And thanks for changing our minds on it, because it is that stigma that, you know, I'm guilty of it as well. And so far, in just 3 days alone, my whole mind's been shifted already, and hearing your story is completely shifted again. So thank you.
Get up with Josiah and Ellie on Goulburn Valley's Hit 96.9.